Welcome, friends. How are you? Good morning, friends. Good to see you. And greetings on this Passion Week. So glad you are here and so glad we can celebrate together. This is a significant moment. This is a significant time in the life of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And I pray that this time that we have together is significant in your life and in your spiritual journey. This is a multi-generational gathering, so we've got all ages and stages in here with us. We have little extra things for our young people, probably best held for the talk time, so look forward to that. When our little people, I'll give you a heads up for that. But we've been traveling on a journey, and our journey has started with pancakes. Do you remember? Pancake Tuesday we started, which led us into Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday starts that 40-day period of Lent and remembering Jesus 40 days as he journeys throughout the desert and he's 40 days in the desert. But that leads us all into the time through Lent to we get to Palm Sunday. We celebrated last week on Palm Sunday, recognizing Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, and which leads us into Palm Sunday, leads us into Holy Week. And this week that we have celebrated. And so here we are in Passion Week. You made it. And today we get to think about the passion of the Christ, the love that the Lord has for us. As we follow, we're going to have the Lord's Supper together, and we'll do that quite soon. So look forward to that as we share in the supper and come around the supper table together. We'll be really focusing in on the cross today, and particularly in that account in Matthew 27. So Matthew 26 and 27 is what we'll be focusing in on today. But it is great that we are gathered here together. Today I've titled my message when we get to it, The Good in Good Friday. So look forward to that. But it is a good day as we start together. I remember we'll gather together on Sunday, and it'll be at 9:30, but well done, you made it here at 9 o'clock. And remember, on Sunday, our clocks change, and it should automatically do it for you if you've got one of those things. But in Matthew 26, thank you very much, Catherine. And in Matthew 26, when we get to that chapter in Matthew, we see the Passover. And Jesus is having a Passover meal with friends, which we'll celebrate, and there's a token meal around the supper. He actually predicts his passion, that he would actually die. And in preparation for that, he is put perfume on him, or perfume is put on him in that scene. So I really want to encourage you to find Matthew and find yourself in Matthew over this Easter and reread. Matthew's account of chapters 26 and 27, or even the whole lot. Let me pray for us, and I'm going to invite our musos to come forward, and we're going to sing together as we start our time together. But I'll pray as we start. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your passion for us all. We thank you now that you have brought us to this time and to this hour. And we pray that as we come together, we might see more clearly your passion for us. Thank you for this week in the life of your church, and thank you for this Friday that we can remember the good that we find in Good Friday. And Lord God, we pray that this will be a significant and a special time for each of us who are gathered here, and thank you for every single person that you have brought here this morning. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friends, we're going to sing two songs. We're focusing on Jesus and Christ, and it's in Christ alone that we have this time and that we come together in this time. Please stand if you're able and if you're most comfortable to sing together. But we come to this time where we gather around the Lord's table, and this is the Passover kind of meal. So Jesus gathered around the table with his friends, if you remember. This was the Passover meal, which was a major meal in the life of Jesus and the Jewish people as they shared this meal that reminded them of years gone by and the Exodus, when God rescued them out of Egypt and when God saved them out of slavery and when God took them as a people into a new place. So here, as we gather around this table this morning, we come here and we have this token kind of meal. We don't have the full spread like they did. We have this token meal here of this this juice and this bread. There is a gluten-free option for those that need that as well. But I encourage you as families, we're going to do this as a whole church family. So if you have young people, then I leave that with you and the responsibility of if you want them to participate in this, but also actually teaching them if they do participate in this, give you the responsibility of doing that. But as we come to this time, we're reminded, and I wanted to remind us of this word from Romans 23, which reminds us that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of what God has actually called us to. And so that is why we need this meal. That is why we need God's grace, as that song so helpfully put. Let me just read verse 24 to you as well, and verse 23, which says this: "For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." And so, friends, as we do come, I want to give us a moment to pause and actually to confess these things. If we've all sinned, we need to confess our things before the Lord. And I'm going to encourage us to do that as a whole congregation. And if you want to say these words together, we can confess in these words that are on the screen. Together, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed our own devices and desires of our own hearts. We are sorry for our sins and turn from them all. For the sake of your Son who loves us and died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, when we fully confess our full failures to the Lord, the great news is, and the good news, and the good in Good Friday, is that we can know that our sins are forgiven. For this forgiveness of sins, as it says there in Matthew 26. And so I'm just going to take us to that now and remind us of Jesus as he gathered around the table. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave it to them and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and he gave it to them and he offered it to them saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so I'm going to invite you to come forward, and I'm going to invite our stewards that are serving us. And when you want to come forward, there's an opportunity for you to grab the juice and the bread. And I encourage you to have that when you're ready for that. And then at the end, I'm going to pray for us. But right now, if you want to participate in this meal that reminds us of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has given us, please come forward now. But friends, if you haven't already, please take it, remembering Jesus died for you, and drink this in remembrance that Jesus' blood was shed for you, and be truly thankful. And let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your gift. Thank you so much for your passion. Thank you so much for giving of your life. And pray that this small token of a meal may remind us of your goodness to us and your love. And we pray and ask this in your name. Amen. And you can grab while you're here. You can grab one of the activity packs, and that might be of good help to you. One of the activity packs on your way while you're down here. And Graham is going to share a poem with us as you get started on some of your activity. So, Graham Hellier has his own poem which he wants to share with us.
Well, good morning. Great to be with you this morning. Got a couple of things actually. Just as I was reading the scripture about Jesus' crucifixion, and just two particular words that he said. The first one where he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as I pondered about that word "them," I thought, that's very inclusive, isn't it? That's the kind of term we use these days, to be inclusive. So who was Jesus thinking about? Who was he wanting to offer, his Father to offer forgiveness to? And I've got some possibilities. Was it the temple rulers that he was thinking of? Or maybe was it the Romans that were used to put him there? Or was it Judas who betrayed him? Or maybe Peter who denied him? Is that a possibility? No, I don't believe that is, because what I believe is that at that moment, in that action, he was offering forgiveness for all of humanity. That's all of us. Wow. The other word that I was challenged about as I considered Jesus on the cross was where he stated, "It is finished." And I guess on our program, Trent put it in a nutshell. He said it's from Abraham to the cross. So hopefully this little story will take us there. In the Bible, we read of a time long ago when God had planned to test Abraham. He said, "Take your only son Isaac to the land of Moriah, and there you are to offer Isaac as a burnt offering." With true obedience, Abraham prepared for the trip, never doubting the plan that God would reveal. His aim was to follow all of God's directions to the place where they would worship him. When they arrived at the place God had shown, Isaac questioned Abraham and said, "Hey, Dad, listen, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" Abraham confidently declared, "God will provide the sacrifice." This is the promise that God gave long ago, to offer his only son to bring salvation to man. This promise arrived in the form of a child who grew to a man with whom God was well pleased. This man, Jesus, challenged the religion of the day so much so they desired to send him away. To kill him on a cross was their devilish plan, so they convinced the Romans to crucify him. So now we can see God's promise fulfilled, to offer his only son as a sacrifice for us. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished. I have completed what my Father God sent me to do." At this moment, the veil in the temple was torn. This was the veil that separated man from God. This veil was torn in two from top to bottom. So now we are free and our salvation can be restored. So this man who healed others can now heal you. This amazing story doesn't stop here. God raises Jesus to life after 3 days. He is now seated in the heavens with God, and he speaks to his Father on our behalf. Praise God.
Thank you, Graham. If you want a signed copy of the poem, you can get that off Graham, or see that or check that out later on. our young people, or if you want an activity pack over here, that will be of help to you over here. If you haven't grabbed that already yet, Leonie's lovingly put those together for you. So make sure you make use of those. That'll be helpful to you. There's also a big rescue book for you as well, which your family can take home. But I'm going to take us to this message I've called The Good in Good Friday. And I want to take us back to AD 33 and a young man who met Jesus. And this young man was a driven young man. He was earnest, and he's also known as the rich young ruler. If you go to Matthew, and so I encourage you to look at Matthew through this period, and go to Matthew 19, you'll hear of the account of this man meeting Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "Good teacher." Now, I'll get to that in a moment, the good and the good teacher. But he says, "What must I do?" In other words, he's asking, "What good must I do to gain eternal life?" And the bad thing is that he thinks he can climb a ladder to get to God. The sad thing is that he walks away from Jesus on that day. He walks away from Jesus because he had particular wealth, and the wealth stopped him from doing and following him. And in Matthew 19, verse 17, it says, Jesus says to him, when he says, "Good teacher," Jesus says to him, "There's only one who is good. It's actually God." And Jesus is hinting here that he is actually God. He is the goodness of God. And it's only his Holy Spirit that brings any goodness in anyone. Well, that is the rich young ruler who meets Jesus. But let me take you forward a few centuries to the 3rd century, where a man named Anthony in 269 AD was 18 years old when he met the story of the rich young ruler. Now, Anthony was born in Egypt. He was known as Anthony of the Desert, and he started a movement, the movement of the monastics. He was one who went out into the desert and moved away. He did that because he actually heard the story of Matthew 19. He heard the story of Matthew 19. He heard the account of Jesus, and he was convicted and convinced to take Jesus' word literally. Tragically, at 18, he was orphaned, and he decided after hearing this account of Jesus that he would sell half of the farm, family farm, and the other half he'd give away to the poor. He'd move out into the desert regions, and he would seek this one who was good, and the one who possessed goodness. He removed himself from the earthly distractions and the earthly things that would take him away from that, to seek the only one who was good. And he did that in prayer and in solitude. Well, that's Anthony of the Desert, or Anthony of Egypt. You can find out more about him sometime. And that's where he met the story of the encounter that Jesus had with the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. But I want to jump you forward a chapter to Matthew 20. Because in Matthew 20, the good one, Jesus predicts his death. And he says this in verse 28. He says, "He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This good one actually ultimately meets that death on the cross. But here he predicts, and he premeditates the passion that he has and the extent of that love that he has and how good he actually is. Well, if I take you to the next chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 21, the good one is actually on the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And this is the start of Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday, which leads into the Passion and the Passion Week, starting Monday, which we've been in, and takes us through until Thursday, revealing the extent of his actual passion, the extent of his goodness that we are loved not because we are worthy, but because he is actually good. And then if I jump forward a couple of chapters in Matthew's Gospel to chapter 26, we get to that account where we've just celebrated around the table, the Lord's Supper. And this supper which he had on Thursday evening. Now, in the Minton family, we have a bit of tradition to have a lamb on a Thursday, which we did last night, our lamb wraps and our grape juice. And if you remember, before this actual meal, in John, he recounts that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. They had this meal, and then the picture, just look at the picture. There is one who will betray him. There is one who will dob him in. There is all who will desert him. And one of his most closest who will actually deny him three times. And so here in Matthew 26, that's what happened, which leads us to the garden and the Garden of Gethsemane, and then takes us to Friday, which we are on, Good Friday. He is trialed in the early hours, and in the early hours of the morning, there is a mocking throughout the morning. There is beating, and then he walks that terrible trail of the cross, the way of the cross, until the time where he was crucified and where darkness comes over the land from the noon to 3 o'clock, where he breathes his last. And he gives up his life, the good shepherd giving up his life for the sheep. There's the account of Matthew 27. Now you can watch it. I want to encourage you to read it, reread it. You can listen to it. You can watch it on Lumo, where they put scripture to basically picture and film. But please, let me encourage you to come back to Matthew and his account of Jesus on the good in Good Friday. Because Good Friday, we see the good one shows us the goodness of God and the extent of his love and that he is so good. The Passion Week, which we find ourselves in. The Passion Week goes all the way on from today, all the way through to Sunday. He is so good that he rose to life again and that he gives us a hope for a future. The good teacher. And if I take us back to where I started in Matthew 19, where he said, good teacher, what must I do? Well, Jesus says, come follow me. Come follow me. He says, lay down your earthly possessions. Lay down your earthly passions and come and follow me. Pursue me and pursue my cross and I can give you eternal life. I can give you the gift of eternal life. And so, God is so good, isn't he? God is so good all the time. He's so good that in 700 years before Jesus, this was actually predicted. This was actually spoken of 700 years before Jesus. It was planned, it was predicted by the prophet Isaiah. And if you read Isaiah 53, and particularly in this suffering servant song, you'll come to a verse which says this. Oh, sorry, can you read that? How good are your eyes? Let me read it for you. It says that he was pierced for our transgressions. That's he, the Christ, the Messiah, was pierced for our transgressions. Transgressions means when you cross a line. Have you ever stepped over a line with a person in a conversation? Maybe you've jumped over with 2 feet, right? You ever crossed a line? Well, crossing a line when you're playing cricket means that you have to re-bowl the ball again. You've stepped over the line. He was pierced for our transgressions, it says. What does it say next? He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquities. What is iniquities? Iniquities is those deliberate, those premeditated sins that you and I have carried out. Now, in the game of football, and I'm talking round ball football, you know what happens for that? You get a red card. In the game of football, the other game of football, rugby league, you know what you get? You get sent to the sin bin. And so for our sins, our iniquities, it says that he was crushed for our sin, for our iniquities. It's like we're all playing archery. We're all shooting our arrow and we fall short of the target. We miss the bullseye. We don't even hit the target. We're all fallen short of the glory of God. And it says the punishment that brought us peace was on him. It was upon him, but it actually brought us peace. The good thing is that his punishment brought us peace, right? And the good news is that by his wounds, we are healed. His passion brought healing to the hearts of people all around the world who trust in him. And so Isaiah 53 verse 5 reminds us, by his wounds we are healed. This is the good of Good Friday. This is the good of Good Friday, by Jesus, the good one, that we can be healed of our sins, we can have hope and we can have a future. And so how do we respond as we finish our time together thinking after this? How should we respond to the good in Good Friday 2026? Let me encourage you this. If it is so good, then keep tasting it. If it is so good and you've just realized it, take it in. And keep taking it in. You know, I found a passion for it in the Northern Territories this week. I bought two because they were so big and they were organic. And I tasted the first one. I thought, that's so good, I've got to have the other one. And maybe you've done that with, I found biltong as well up there. Is anyone into jerky or biltong? Maybe you're into cheese, good cheese. You want to taste it again, right? No one's going to taste good chocolate again this weekend, are they? No. If something's so good, keep tasting it, retaste it, take it in, enjoy it, celebrate it. The good teacher, the good God, the good gospel. Keep taking it in over this weekend. But if it is so good, it actually needs to be shared, doesn't it? It needs to be shared. For the first time, I took an Uber. Anyone, who hasn't taken an Uber here? You haven't taken an Uber? There's a few of you. Good on you. The first time I took an Uber, I met the driver, and it was the first time I've been in transport in Australia where the driver didn't know about Jesus. He was an Indian man who had been in the Northern Territory for 2 years, a couple of years. And I tried to say, you know, I'm a Christian, it's Friday, Good Friday, and we're having a celebration, and Sunday. And none of this was going on. It was the first time. I've been in Thailand in taxis where taxi drivers haven't known about the name of Jesus. I can't understand that. I was in Australia. We need to share this good news, don't we? We need to pass on this good news, this Good Friday. And there's a group in the Baptist world called Crossover. And they want to help us. They want to help us, Australian Baptists, share this good news. So I've just got a little short minute, 1 minute video. We're going to actually, our offering today is actually going towards that. And this is what you'll be giving towards. And this is what will be helping us as you have a look. But now is an opportunity for us to remember and to kind of bring it back to where we started and to reflect on Jesus, that sacred Jesus and his head that was crushed and crucified. He was crucified for us. Please, if you're able, let's reflect, let's stand and sing together of our Lord Jesus. And friends, in that reflective mode, may you go and may you read Matthew and may you in the good that God has for you. Please stay around to join with us after, but I'd love for you to share what God's been stirring in your heart in the last hour and for us to have an opportunity to share with one another. God bless you, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you on Resurrection Sunday at 9:30.